Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We had the Sweet 16 last night. It will continue tonight, and then we'll know what the Elite Eight is for Saturday and Sunday. Let's go out to Barstool's headquarters in Chicago's right now, and we will welcome in Bobby Riga. Does a great job covering college basketball for them. Bobby, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Good, Zach. How are you, man?
Well, I'm fantastic. So I know that you're a big Kentucky guy. We've talked before about John Calipari. I thought it was time for Kentucky to move on from him, and I thought it was time for Cal to find something else. Really, with what happened at Kentucky the last 3 to 4 years, what you saw last night, is that just justification for wanting the Calipari era to end when it did?
I mean, you can see me. I have a grin on my face because it's not been the last 3 or 4 years. It's been the last 6, 7 years. It's 6 years for sure. Really, that Auburn Elite Eight game in 2019. He is known for what happened last night. That's really why Kentucky fans were ready to run him out of town. It was taking the air out of the ball with about 4 minutes to go instead of running your typical offense, trying to rely on defense and hoping like John L. Davis or DJ Wagner bailed him out last night. And that lead goes from, you know, 15 to 9 to 6 to all of a sudden Texas Tech hits a 3 to go to into overtime. That has played out so many times in the John Calipari storyline. And I agree, like, he shouldn't have fouled at the end of regulation because there is too much time on the clock. They typically say under 6 seconds to foul, 5 seconds really. You know, there was 9 seconds left. That's not the problem. It is the 4 minutes leading up to that. That's the John Calipari experience.
And also, I'm fine with him not taking a timeout originally at the end.
Agreed.
But when you got players running around like they have their heads cut off, like, you got to eventually take a timeout.
Yeah, I'm firmly in the camp of don't call timeout right away because you don't want the defense set up. You want that scramble where, especially with Calipari teams, you have the athletes, right? Like, you have the quickness, you have the speed to get down the floor and get an open look. But the moment DJ Wagner looked like, coach, when's timeout coming? And they just stood there, call timeout. It's that simple. And that, again, Kentucky fans have screamed at the last few years. So, yeah, like, look, they made the run to the Sweet 16. I don't understand why people are screaming that this season was a success for John Calipari. They were preseason top 20. They were a 10 seed. They needed a miracle, not a miracle, they needed a run towards the end of the season to get into the tournament. And then they had two, you know, St. John's was awesome, but that was a perfect matchup for Arkansas. They needed that just to get to the Sweet 16. This was not a successful season. The Sweet 16 helps cover up what I think was a disappointing season. If I told Arkansas fans you are going to finish in the bottom, you know, what, quarter of the SEC, the bottom half of the SEC, a losing record in conference, you're going to be a 10 seed. How do they react to that? That's the way to look at it.
Yeah, so them getting to the Sweet 16 I feel like that's what makes people say, okay, it's a successful season. But then also how they lost, you don't know when you're going to be back. And if you're going to be back, if you're going to change the outcome, you had that game won. Now, I'm not saying that Arkansas is going to the Final Four. They were going to the championship game. But who knows
what would
happen? You're still alive. And you should have won the game and you didn't.
You're alive going up against Florida with an injured Alex Condon. Like, you have a lot of this stuff kind of leaning your way. But yeah, that's a John Calipari experience. And I know the Sweet 16, like you say Sweet 16 and everyone just assumes, oh, great season. That's a two game sample size versus the 30 that we saw leading into it. To me, Arkansas was a disappointment. They won the two games. It covers up a lot, but I don't know how people can sit here and say John Calipari proved Kentucky fans wrong. No, he didn't. He proved exactly why we were kind of ready to move on from him.
Bobby Regan here with us from Barstool Sports. All right, to your Wildcats. If they lose,
and here we go.
If they lose tonight, is it a successful season in your opinion?
100%. Because again, look at the 30 games leading into it. Again, if I told my fellow Kentucky fans before the season, you will have wins over Louisville, Gonzaga, Duke, you sweep Tennessee in the regular season, you beat Florida, you go to Missouri and win, you're a 3 seed in the SEC tournament, you finished with a winning record in a historically great SEC, and you make the Sweet 16, oh, and by the way, you have 7 games with your entire roster because of injuries, everyone's like, Mark Pope did a you-know-what type of job, like a heck of a job. And I think that's kind of the general consensus. Now, the downside is you're playing Tennessee in the Sweet 16, a rival, a team that you have won 5 of the last 6 against. So this is the beauty and the worst part about the tournament is it's the ultimate bragging rights, but it's a one-game scenario that dictates the entire season. A win here, a Kentucky win here, I don't know how anyone, even the biggest Kentucky haters, can say it was a bad season. It was a massive success in year one with a roster that was put together late. And again, you know, Jackson Robinson going out for the season, Kirk Creasa going out in the season in early December, Lamont Butler in and out, Andrew Carr missing time. I don't know how anyone can look at what Mark Pope's done from a coaching standpoint and not think it's been an incredible hire.
Where's your confidence that they get the job done tonight?
Look, I love the sport. I cover the sport. I'm a fan at heart, right? And instantly, I think worst case scenario. Like, just it's just how my mind thinks.
I kind of think Tennessee's gonna win, you know. And also, this is more a national storyline. Everyone's talking about Bruce Pearl, who I love, Kelvin Sampson, right? These guys trying to get their first title. Yeah. What about Rick Barnes? I know he hasn't been to the Final Four since 2003, but he's here once again.
Right, and how about the fact that you look back, Tennessee has lost. They lost to FAU in the Sweet 16. They lost to Purdue last year in the Elite Eight. I think they lost in the round of 32. Yeah, they lost in the round of 32. Well, that'd be 3 years ago. So they keep progressing one round, and it's like, is this the year they get to the Final Four, which Tennessee has never been? Again, I'm a fan at heart. I love saying Tennessee's never been to a Final Four. I want that to stay true, obviously. But this, as a Kentucky fan, I am worried about positive regression for Tennessee. They did not shoot the ball great against Kentucky in the two games this year. They shot 45 threes in Knoxville. And can we just say this game being played in a football stadium is the dumbest thing in the world? I think, can we all agree on that?
I hate it. I'm going to the Final Four to do shows next week. We're not staying for the games because I hate watching college basketball in a football stadium or in a large stadium.
I get it for the Final Four, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a big event. You can sell the tickets. But the fact that the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are being played in a football stadium with a curtain and it's not even the entire stadium, and you get these 4 fan bases, you get 3 true basketball schools in Houston, Kentucky, and Purdue, 2 of which are, you know, Kentucky as blue blood gets. Purdue, massive success, massive history. Tennessee, a lot of recent history. That's got to be played in a better environment. It just has to be played in a better environment.
Bobby Regan here with us. So Duke at Alabama, that feels like a Final Four game. We're going to see it in the Elite Eight tomorrow. Points, and more points, right, in this one?
I kind of think maybe a little under because Duke's defense, is probably the second best in the country. I think Houston still has the best defense in the country. And the fact that we saw San Diego State 2 years ago beat Alabama by running them off the three-point line, funneling them into the mid-range where they don't want to play. And then San Diego State had an elite shot blocker that year, Nathan Mensah, and you just take away the rim runs. Look at Duke. A lot of big guards, big wings. They can run you off the three-point line. And then you have Malawak, Cooper Flagg, what's the other guy's name? Nwangba, Malik Brown, if he's healthy enough to play. Four guys that are rim protectors. They match up very well. Now, again, we saw Alabama go nuclear last night, a historically great shooting night. That's always a real possibility. But I kind of think Duke's defense is tailor-made to, you know, defend what Nate Oates wants to do.
Yeah, I'm not picking against Duke until they go down, to be clear, in this tournament. When we look at the other ones that still remain that are playing tonight, Auburn and Houston, do you think Houston's losing to Purdue? Do you think Auburn's losing to Michigan? Because I don't.
If one loses, my guess would be Michigan beats Auburn.
Okay, Dusty May.
That Auburn kind of felt like it hit its peak a little early. They struggled down the stretch, obviously. I think they lost 3 of 4, if I remember correctly. They haven't seemed right, and don't get me wrong, they are a great team. But a month ago, people were talking about them as potentially an all-time great team. That ain't the case anymore, right? I think everyone agrees. All Michigan does is win close games. If they hang around, if Auburn does not step on their throats early, how do you not kind of think Michigan just finds another way to win like they have over the last 3 months? Houston, I think, is the best team in the country. They have the defense. What they have this year compared to years past are three guards that shoot the ball so well. I'm not worried about their offense. Emmanuel Sharp, LJ Cryer, Milo Suzan are phenomenal. They might be the best three-guard tandem in the country. And they should just smother Purdue. I am not – and look, I may be dumb, but I just don't see it happening. That's the beauty of saying something like that, because yeah, it's the NCAA tournament. But I think Houston's. I said before the tournament, Houston's going to win the national championship. Nothing's persuading me from that right now.
You going Izzo? Or you going Beard tonight?
What an elite coaching matchup. This feels like Izzo though. This isn't Tom Izzo team. I don't understand how Michigan State is good. Like I've watched every game, and I'm just like, these guys aren't good outside of Jace Richardson. And I say that in jest. Like they're not an elite talented team for a number two seed.
You're gonna wind up in their locker room for the next thing you know.
I know, but video. they play. I'm not calling them frauds because they play Tom Izzo basketball.
Yeah,
right. They don't shoot the ball exceptionally well, but they rebound. They defend. They have that top talent in Jace Richardson, and all the parts fit, which matters. Ole Miss, you know, they did what they did against Iowa State, but they have had a history recently of getting up and then blowing the lead. They did it to Arkansas in the SEC tournament, which took a buzzer beater for them to win. They did it against North Carolina, which they had to hang on to win. I'm not ready to kill a Michigan State team, even if they're struggling shooting, because Ole Miss just kind of has lapses in judgment. And I don't know how you can go against Izzo when this team is just an Izzo team.
I only got 30 seconds left. Is the Barstool office and I like Rico Bosco, are they rooting for Alabama to fall?
I don't know, man. It's hard to root for Duke. It's hard to root for Duke. That's kind of where everybody is.
It's a big test. It's Duke, Alabama. It's Duke or Rico. I'm a writer, to be clear. I don't want anyone going after me, but geez, it's a big one.
It's content versus Duke. And I'm torn in the middle. I love Rico. I've been with Rico all day, and it's you know, we've talked a lot about the game, but yeah, it's hard to say.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing
and Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Duke.
Yeah. Bobby Regan. Riggs, good luck to your Wildcats tonight. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a good one.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.